This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Over land and sea, a little shy, sad of eye.
Back with you live on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Martin Kilquin coming to you from downtown St. Louis. Rosalita's the place to be all weekend. Cinco de Mayo celebration. We threatened that either Frank or Charlie would do the mechanical bull. I don't believe it has arrived yet. So both are off the hook as of right now. Midday grind coming your way top of the hour. And then 590 baseball, 590 broadcasting live from the shadows of Rosalita's all day as we get ready for Cinco de Mayo. Cards, Cubs weekend at Wrigley. That's going to be great. Game 5, Blues and Stars tonight, late start, 8:30-ish at Enterprise Center. There's also an event in town, part of Art Unleashed, and we want to tell you about the artist being featured. His name is Valentino Dixon, and boy, he has a story to tell. I don't know if it'll be a TV movie, a book, or whatever, but it's going to end up front and center for a lot of folks. Valentino, welcome to town. I know you just arrived. Glad to have you in St. Louis. How are you?
I'm all right, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Well, let me ask the backstory here, how it began. Okay. Tell everybody, and we went to the commercial break earlier, and I told everyone your story and said he was wrongly incarcerated for murder, sentenced to 39 years, and then served 27. Give us the backstory, how you ended up in jail, and then we'll get into some of the details, how you ended up getting out of jail.
Oh, wow. I was arrested for a homicide that I committed. I was at a restaurant, and a shooting took place. And when it took place, I ran in my car, jumped in my car, drove off. Shortly thereafter, I was pulled over, taken into custody for questioning, and I found myself being arrested for murder.
What are the emotions then? I mean, how do you, point?
I just thought... Well, it was so many witnesses out there. It must have been 80, 90 witnesses. So I felt like it would get straightened out. You know, it was a number of people that knew me that was at the scene of the crime. And I said, okay, this will get straightened out in the morning. And it never got straightened out. It took 27 years.
And at the time, you were how old? And what did your defense team look like? What did your lawyers, with public defender, what did they do for you?
Well, I was 21 years old at the time, and I didn't have, you know, the money to afford a good counsel, so I had to roll with a public defender who told me that more than likely the case would not go to trial because the prosecutor's office didn't have enough evidence. However, we went to trial, and there were 8 people that cleared me of the crime and the confession from the person that committed the crime. And my lawyer, first he didn't give an opening statement, which was confusing. And when it was his time to put on the defense, he didn't call any witnesses. He didn't even introduce the confession to the police. And I was very angry, and I expressed my frustrations to the court. I didn't know what was going on. I felt like I was being hissed up. And I was pretty much told to sit down and that my lawyer knew what he was doing. And they found me guilty of all charges.
You weren't just sentenced to prison. You were sent to the infamous Attica Correctional Facility that's been talked about for years. You did 27 years when you're wrongfully accused, then wrongfully incarcerated. How do you maintain your sanity? How do you fight for your freedom? How do you even keep your head up all those years?
Let me tell you something, Frank. It is Frank, right?
Well, it's actually Martin. Frank stepped away. But I didn't want to correct you because that's
all
fine.
Right,
it's no problem. It's normally Martin and Frank. I've been called a lot worse, but it's actually Martin.
Right. All right, Martin. Well, you know, Attica is infamous, and it still is. I mean, when I got there, it's like the worst place on the planet, you know. And to this day, I don't know how I survived it, but God was with me, and I wasn't a stronger believer. You know, I didn't really have a strong faith in God at all. But, you know, God took care of me in a bad place. And I turned to artwork as a way to keep my sanity. You know, I took my mind to a place, and I said, I just got to make it through here. You know, and I just started drawing every day. But for the first 7 years, I didn't do anything. I was in a state of depression. you know, and I just seen so much around me. I mean, guys were committing suicide in the prison, you know, that I had met. And, you know, it was just horrific. The treatment was bad. And, you know, I was always a humble person. I kept to myself. And I started drawing, and I dug into the drawing, and it was like, well, the courts is not acknowledging what happened to me. You know, I had been through this federal court, and it just wasn't acknowledging the facts of the case. I mean, I had 8 people that cleared me the crime, and they just wouldn't acknowledge it. You know, at the end of the day, it just come down to a handful of people who make decisions to not, you know, do the right thing. You know, sometimes you have people that say, you know, we got to do the right thing. And then you have others say, let's bury it. And this is how I ended up doing 27 years, because they buried it for so long. However, in 2010, the warden, who had known of me, he knew I was an artist. Everybody in jail knew I was an artist, because I did withdraw for like 10 hours a day. And he came to me and asked me to draw his favorite golf hole. Of course, I've never golfed. I'm a black kid from the inner city, from the ghetto of Buffalo, New York, and I've never drawn before. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll draw the golf course, even though I've never golfed. And I drew the 12th hole of Augusta. He loved it. And other inmates encouraged me to draw more golf courses, which was odd, because I don't think none of us golfed. Maybe one or two had golfed out of hundreds. And so I ended up drawing more golf courses. They brought me some old Golf Digest magazine articles, and I just picked out, I think, the prettiest courses that I thought was, you know, to my eye. And after 6 or 7 months, you know, I picked up the magazine and I started reading the columns, and I came across a column called Golf Saved My Life by Max Atlas. So, you know, at the time I had 20 years in, and I was saying, you know, golf is saving my life because it's giving my spirit strength, and it's you know, it's giving me the strength to fight another day, you know, to continue to go. You know, continue to, you know, keep going, put it that way. And so I wrote a 4-page letter to the Golf Digest, and I sent a couple of the drawings, and I explained my situation, which, of course, you know, they must have thought I was crazy. And, you know, nobody believes you're innocent in prison. It's like, you know, we've heard that one before. But I actually had the evidence, you know, to support my claims. The evidence was always there. So the writer, Max Adler, to my surprise, to everyone's surprise, because I always share just, you know, we always share good news with each other in prison. So he said that he was coming to visit me. And that just was like, what? This guy from the Golf Digest magazine is coming to Attica? He's never been in the prison before. You know, golf is a sport that's not really covered by, you know, they don't cover no prison issues or anything like that. So he came in and interviewed me in 2011 and 2012. A 3-page article came out in the Golf Digest magazine, which, you know, it didn't release me from prison, but it opened up a whole new door for me. You know, from there, the Golf Channel came and interviewed me in Attica, and that interview was actually nominated for an Emmy Award in 2013. You know, I didn't win, but it was nominated, you know. And in 2017, Georgetown accepted my case. They investigated. And it was revealed that, you know, after I got arrested, you know, my clothes were taken, my car was confiscated, and they never revealed the results of the lab. What the detectives told me that once they take the clothes and the car to the lab, it'll show if I fired a gun or not. And they never revealed the results. In fact, they turned over the results to the DA at the time, and he never revealed them. He just kept the document to himself. And in 2018, he revealed that he had the findings but never turned them over. And he was actually fired, and the new DA eventually released me from prison in September 19th of 2018. I was released. So I only been out 7 months.
So fast forward a little bit here. You get out of prison, 27 years, wrongfully accused, wrongfully incarcerated.
Yeah.
But because of your golf paintings, you get sort of
right.
Not only a new lease on life, but a whole segment now that's interested in your story, Golf Channel, Golf Digest. They help bring awareness,
right.
And it leads to eventually you being exonerated. And now you get to go to Augusta, not only
right.
Where your work has been seen and this is, you know, high-level sports. It's the Masters, and it's prestigious. and they welcome you with open arms. You meet Jack Nicklaus. You meet Tiger Woods. This had to just be, I mean, I think I would have just passed out and saying this is just disbelief. A year ago, I'm in the prison yard. Tell us about the Augusta experience.
Let me tell you something, Martin. I wanted to slap myself because I didn't think it was real. You know, when I arrived on that golf course, and you know, I had drawn golf courses for a total of about 6 years before I was released. So that famous hole, the 12th hole, I have drawn it about 8 or 9 times. So just going to see it in person was just like unbelievable. You know, it was just so much more vivid. I could see details that I hadn't seen in photographs and stuff like that. And then meeting Tiger and spending 5 minutes with Tiger was just unbelievable. You know, and, you know, I met Tiger 2 days before the tournament, and I told him he was going to win. He looks at me. He says, I'm going to try my best. And I look at Tiger, and I said, Tiger, you're going to win. You know, he starts smiling. He looks at his agent. He says, I like this guy right here, you know. And he ended up winning. You know, so, I mean, you can't have a better ending than that.
And what about Jack Nicklaus?
Oh, man, the golden bear. You know, I spent some time with Jack. And, you know, he asked me a lot of questions about, you know, prison. He was just, you know, he had read the story, and he, at some point he kind of compared me to Nelson Mandela because he said that I wasn't angry, and Nelson Mandela walked out of prison, and he wasn't angry either. And he kind of tied us in together with our spirit and our attitude. And I thought that was just, like, so wonderful for him to even put me in the same sentence as Nelson. I mean, you know, I'm no Nelson Mandela, but he said my spirit, you know, of forgiveness and, you know, just joy. And, I mean, you know, I'm a happy person. And a lot of people find that hard to believe. Like, how can this guy be happy, you know, and not be angry? I've just never been that type of person. And even when I was in prison and I had my moments of anger, you know, I never turned, you know, I never allowed my heart to turn a cold or anything like that. It's just not, my mother didn't raise me to be that way.
Unbelievable story. Valentino Dixon, a renowned artist at this point for his work, and that work is on display in our town today, St. Louis. It's an event called Art Unleashed. It's at the Angad Arts Hotel. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, the Angad Arts Hotel.
Yeah.
It's right by the Fox Theater, and they're doing a happy hour with the work. Our friend Jay Delsing has brought Valentino to town, and they're doing a fundraiser for Art Unleashed. They've got a website, artunleashed.org. If you'd like to go this afternoon, again, it's a charity event, $100 per person, but it's cocktail, hors d'oeuvres, a chance to hear Valentino's story, and most importantly, to see his work on display. You can call 628-1024. That's 314 area code, 628-1024, artunleashed.org. That happy hour, that event this Friday afternoon, starting at 6:30. Drinks, hors d'oeuvres, reception. There's an auction, a really cool event going on this afternoon. Have you ever had the chance to play golf? And will you take up golf now with this interest that you have sort of stumbled into with the game?
I played golf one time. I went to Mexico and I played golf with Max Adler of the Golf Digest. I'm a terrible golfer, but I loved it.
Love the game, and I, in a weird way, I guess, did it kind of save your life?
Of course. You know, in prison, you look for many things that can help you stay strong, and drawing was one of those things. And, you know, golf, it just did something else, you know, to my spirit, and it just gave me a peace. You know, drawing the golf course was almost like fishing. You know, that was the one thing that my father used to do with us. Take us fishing in the summertime, and it was always peaceful, you know. So drawing the golf courses and the landscapes and the grass and all that just remind me of that peaceful time when I was a kid, you know, going fishing.
I would think with the story you have to tell, whether it's 60 Minutes or Ellen or CNN or somebody, how many people have reached out? And I think, honestly, I hope that you reach out and tell people, hey, this is a story that needs to be told, not only about being falsely incarcerated, but the amazing connection with Augusta and the Masters, and there you are hanging with Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus. It's really beyond anything Hollywood could kind of put together.
Well, Martin, let me just say this. Well, Ellen, 60 Minutes, none of those people have reached out, but I would love to be on any of those shows. You know, I think this is a lot of people still don't, is not aware of my story, you know. So But it's good. I'm happy to be in St. Louis, and I'll take this all day long.
Well, and our good friend Jay Delsing, he knows people, so hopefully he can make the connections. And kudos to you for not being bitter. I got to tell you, if I was wrongly accused and then incarcerated for nearly 30 years, I'd have a hard time staying upbeat. Clearly, your spirit is one of the reasons you got out. And I'm sure you also encounter people who probably you can almost feel that vibe, like, well, maybe he did do it. You know, even though you've been exonerated, you probably still run into people who give you that weird vibe.
Well, I don't pay them any mind. And if I do run into them, I guess I don't pay it no mind. I haven't encountered it, but if I did, I probably wouldn't even know. You know, The way I am, if somebody's a little standoffish, I still give them my spirit, you know, and that's just the way I am.
Last thought, did Augusta live up to your vision? And when you pull in there, like, I've never been, and it's on the bucket list because we've always hear these great stories. There's Amen Corner, the log cabin, and you walk in, the azaleas. Did it live up to the hype?
All that and some, like 1,000 times more than I could ever imagine. That's how beautiful it is. And guess what? I've been invited to come back next year.
Oh, very cool. Well, this is a great story.
And I hope better than that, right?
Valentino Dixon is his name. I'm telling you, it's going to be a TV movie. It's going to be a book. You wait for it. You heard it here first, 590 The Fan. And this afternoon, if you got a little time or maybe a little bit of money, you want to get involved with a great organization, artunleashed.org is their website. And for tickets to this afternoon, just go by for a little while. Happy hour, hors d'oeuvres, drinks, and you can meet Valentino and see the work on display. How many pictures and paintings do you have out there today?
Tonight, we're going to have 6 originals, and I'm going to be signing prints. I have 3 different sizes of prints that I'm going to be signing.
Well, very cool. Thanks for sharing your story again.
People. Also, yeah.
Okay, people can get tickets at 628-1024. 628-1024. That's a 314 number. It's at the Angad Arts Hotel. I apologize. I'm not familiar with the name of it, but it's right by the Fox Theater. It's this afternoon, 6:30, hors d'oeuvres, drinks. Meet him. I'm getting a lot of texts from friends of mine saying, unbelievable interview, unbelievable story. So thanks for sharing it with us, and hope you have a great time in St. Louis.
All right. Thanks, Martin, and thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
All right. That is Valentino Dixon checking in with us on 590 The Fan. Yeah, a lot of texts here, people saying, what a story. It is crazy to think all that has happened, and there he is at the Masters. You know, 6 months earlier he's in prison, then he's at the Masters talking to Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus. We're back live here. Well, we were live talking to him, but we're also live here. We're at Blondie's, which is right next door to Rosalita's, getting ready for a big Cinco de Mayo weekend. Chuck Marlow joins the conversation. Brian Hoffman is here. Jimmy Huer is here. What a great story. Really was. Charlie Tuna has said, can I book him for my show?
No, don't cut our grass,
yeah,
Chuck.
Cut
that
grass.
Was us.
I wish we had Valentino on last week, give people even more advance notice. Charlie Marlow, welcome back from Dallas.
Great to be here.
Did you ride the PJ that Strick was on, private jets?
Hold on a second. Before we get to that, great story and interview. I wasn't able to listen to all of it, but also providing us with a couple of drops, calling you Frank twice, which we always appreciate.
Because it was a serious story and interview, and like when it began, and to be honest, we don't even know sometimes when Frank leaves. We turn
That's
around.
True.
In fact, I think I was in 5 for Frank, and I was like at about 4.5, and I turned around and I looked down and he was
there
gone.
There he goes.
And
Brian
Hoffman pointed out the window because we got a great view of Wash Ave here. And he pointed, and Frank was already like 10 feet down the street.
He got out quick.
He bolted. Now, he was going over to Blues practice to hold them accountable for only being 2-2 in their series.
Sure.
So when the gentleman
Why
said,
did you lose that game the other night?
We swarmed them.
When the guy called me Frank, I thought, it's fine. Who cares? We're just starting the interview. But then when he went back to it, I thought, I have a decision to make. Do I say it's actually Martin, or do I let it play on so that
That's
you guys
tough.
Can have fun with it? But then he stopped, and I was going to just let it go because I thought it was kind of funny and it wasn't really that important to the story. And then he said, it is Frank, correct? Like, well, close. It's Martin.
But again, let's focus on the story. Great story. Great interview.
Yes.
And I've never heard of that hotel, but apparently it's right by the Fox. It's A-N-G-A-D, the Angad Hotel, right there in the theater district. So if you get a chance, check them out, artunleashed.org. And Chuck is back from Dallas, and we will talk some Blues. We'll take a little break here, but first, some business with Hawk.
Lakeside Roofing. They have a reputation that is one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive prices. Lakeside Roofing features the finest quality roofing materials, and they provide expert installation. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com. And, of course, the Gatesworth, the finest in senior living. One McKnight Place there in Clayton. Go to thegatesworth.com for more information.
All right, we'll get into the Blues conversation. We got a game five. We got a hockey insider, Chuck Marlowe.
Who Why are you not laughing?
Why'd you laugh at that?
I'm sorry. Did
Why are you
that,
laughing?
You laughed.
No,
you
I didn't.
You started
actually.
Laughing first. Yeah, was that like a reflex?
Did I laugh before?
Yeah. It's like a
habitual
like giggle.
I'm the Blues Stars Dallas correspondent over the last three or four postseasons.
What'd you eat?
That?
What'd you eat over there?
We can talk about that. We can talk about me visiting, of course, Dealey Plaza. Because when I talked to you last time was that was Wednesday. I drove past it, but then I went and walked around, and it was very, very cool to see all of that.
All right, we'll get into that, and a lot to get to. Cards Cubs is actually about an hour-ish away from starting up there at Wrigley Field. Hockey to get to. Busy Friday here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box.